Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When I first saw the towers and the guanacos and the first puma I've met, and every single thing you see there, it stays with you forever. And that's true because it's very unique. And it's not only about the beauty of the scenery, but it's about the energy.
Welcome to Jump Podcast. I'm your host, Traveling Jackie, and I'm here to explore travel, adventure, and lifestyle in ways meant to motivate you to move and get out and see the world. Let this show be a source of travel advice and inspiration, but remember that in the end, it's you who takes the leap. Hey guys, welcome back to Jump Podcast. Thanks for tuning in today. We've got some feel good and inspiring stuff for you today. You just heard in that little clip the voice of Timothy Dalen, whom we are going to meet shortly. He is a super accomplished filmmaker and photographer, originally from France, who lives in Torres del Paine National Park in Chile and Patagonia, which is one of the places where I lead my group trips each year, one of my favorite places in the world, and he lives there. I can only imagine what that must be like, and he's here to tell us more about that and how he ended up there and what he does there and how you might just get to meet him. Also, I want to make sure you are all aware, in case you haven't caught this memo yet, or maybe this is your first time listening, I organize and lead trips for you. And like I just mentioned, Patagonia is one of my hotspots where I lead trips every year. And you are about to hear a lot about one of the specific areas. And on that note, this year, 2021, we have two trips planned and we still have space on both. One is within Torres del Paine National Park, which you're going to hear about. We're doing the entire Paine circuit. Usually we just do the W trek, which in itself is amazing, but this includes the W circuit as well as the rest of the trail, which I've never done before. And I'm so excited to be doing it with you guys for the first time this November. So if you get inspired by listening to this episode, or if you just always wanted to go to Patagonia, trust me when I say I'm your girl. My trips are truly the best. And you can find them at, of course, there's no bias there, none whatsoever. You can find them at jumpadventures.com or on the podcast page or in the show notes or at travelingjackie.com or at Traveling Jackie on Instagram or just about anywhere that you can find me on the internet, on the interwebs. Check those out. Those trips are always full of super rad people because guess what? It's you and others like you who listen to this show and want to make travel happen and say yes to adventure. I cannot wait to get back to Patagonia this year. It is going to be so special. And you're also about to hear in this chat we're about to have that there's a birthday celebration planned because, yeah, It's my birthday while we're down there. So we're celebrating Chilean style with an asado. And I just can't wait. Timothy might actually join us for that asado as well. So it's going to be good times. And again, if you want in on those times, jumpadventures.com or travelingjackie.com/trips. Just anywhere. It's everywhere and it's waiting for you. And make sure you subscribe for email updates because I do send out updates about those trips and launches and everything that's going on in the Jump Adventures world. So make sure you're on that list. Stay tuned for after the conversation that we're about to have because I'm going to give you also, as well as this rad conversation, I'm going to give you three things that you must pack with you for Patagonia. These are hard-learned tips from experience. And I'm also going to give you three book recommendations if you want to continue your deep dive into this beautiful place. So again, that's going to be at the end of the episode. We're stoked to be partnering with Gooder for this episode. If you are an active adventurer and haven't heard of Gooder sunglasses yet, listen up because these might just become your new faves. They are fun, fashionable, functional, and affordable with 30-day free returns and backed by a one-year warranty. They're also 1% for the planet, 100% carbon neutral. All of that means they're paying attention to the good stuff as well as producing the good stuff. Let's hear from our buddy Casey about why he loves Gooder.
My name is Casey Germain. I own the Bozeman Running Company in downtown Bozeman.
Why do you sell Gooder there?
Gooder is an awesome sunglass. They are affordable, stylish, and polarized lenses, all for $25. And they've got cool, fun, fancy patterns.
And why do you choose to run in Gooders?
I want something that I can run in, but also post-run if I want to go out to dinner or go grab a drink. It's something I can just wear all around, not just running.
Thank you, Casey, for that. And hey, if you're signed up for Croatia this October with me, I seriously encourage you to get a pair of these non-slip sunnies. You'll appreciate them while you're on your bike later. And bonus for you guys, use code JUMP15 at Gooder.com. It's G-O-O-D-R.com. JUMP15 to save 15% on your entire order. And I will give a shout out to the fun VRG style that I've been sporting lately. I swear they make me faster. Okay, jump15 at gooder.com to get a pair and join in on the fun and the fashion. Let's also shout out Oboz Footwear for supporting us for this episode. I've been getting some questions about which shoes I'm going to bring to Croatia for my bike rides. And honestly, I'm bringing my Oboz Bozemans. They have a leather upper, so the toes are super protected from wind and rain and, you know, the occasional pedal kick and stones. And they are flat bottomed with great tread, which I find works super well for bike pedals. They are very, very comfortable and they can be worn just for walking shoes as well, which we all know is super important to have in those European cities. So again, if you're signed up for biking in Croatia with me or just looking for a great multi-purpose adventure shoe or walking shoe that still looks good in photos, I'm going to recommend the Bozeman style Oboz. Check them out at obozfootwear.com. That's O-B-O-Z footwear.com. And while you're on the website, check out the Oboz Trail Experience. If you love to walk, hike, or run on trails, the Oboz Trail Experience might just be for you, and it might also just be in your neighborhood. Sign up is easy. You can learn more about all of that and pick out your own shoes at obozfootwear.com. All right, let's go ahead and get Timothy on the line and dream of southern stars and mountain spires and glaciers and lakes and condors. Here we go.
Now?
Yes. Yes. Yeah, ahí estamos.
What's up?
Yes, I know. You're in a car.
Yes, I'm sorry. It's like the best place I found right now. I'm like of traveling.
Yeah.
But at least I've got a cozy seat so we can talk.
Okay, cool. Great. Well, ¿cómo estás?
I'm fine. Todo bien. Estoy en el norte de Chile. I'm in northern Chile. It's been 10 months now and almost a year since, like, you know, the pandemic began in Patagonia and no tourism. So I've left for a while with the family.
Ah, okay. Wait, so, okay. Let's just, before we get into all the cool Chilean stuff, let's talk about you first, because I have so many questions for you, but I feel like before we find out what you're doing with your family here, I want to know like the background, because I want to set the stage for everybody listening that, we're going to talk about Patagonia today, but let's first talk about who you are and like where you came from and what your story is. So what are you even doing in Chile? How about that?
I tried to make it short, but it can take hours. But yeah, summing up, it's been 7 years now since I reached Chile in 2014. And it started with a love story. I got to know a Chilean girl in France. We were studying together. And now she's my wife. We married and we have a small daughter. She's 1 year old now. So she was born in the pandemic. But long before that, I've had the opportunity to travel and work abroad in sustainable tourism. And I've always been mixing that with my passion, which is filmmaking and photography, because I'm, as a profession and passion, I'm also a nature photographer and also a filmmaker. So when I traveled to Chile, I knew I wanted to live in a wild place, or hopefully in a national park, doing what I love, which is creating content. And after a few months, we both of us ended up working in Patagonia, in Torres del Paine National Park, for an eco lodge called EcoCamp Patagonia, which is located in the very heart of Torres del Paine, with a view of the mountains, like the granite towers that are, you know, famous worldwide. And it's the best school for photography, so I'm making the content for the lodge. And that's it. I'm basically a resident filmmaker, photographer in Patagonia.
I love it. And you, so where, she's actually Chilean, your wife. Is she,
yes.
Where's she
from? She's from here, from northern Chile, from Coquimbo.
Ah, okay. It's all coming together. So she was studying in France and that's where you met. And then you ended up moving with her back to Chile.
Yes. She was doing an exchange and she was two meters away from me every day, but I wouldn't look at her, but because I wanted to be kind of free in that time. I didn't want any relationship, but yeah, she got me. I fell in love after a few months and I booked my flight ticket to Chile, and that's where we ended up building our life together.
Wow. Amazing. So that's okay. That majorly helps out with wanting to move abroad. I mean, if you have a significant other who is there, that's often the story of people who become expats or whatever. But congratulations. That's super exciting. And congratulations on your new baby girl. That's amazing. Thank What's you. Her name?
Naomi.
Oh, so are you going to raise her speaking three languages?
Yeah. Well, for now, we are trying with. Well, I only speak French with her, and
okay.
Lisette, my wife, she speaks only Spanish, and she listens to the Beatles, the Rolling Stones, and all this cool English speaking music. So we hope she's got three languages.
She'll get it. Yeah. Oh, that's so amazing. Good for you. Good for you guys. So I kind of want to go back to the beginnings. Ish of your story in Patagonia, because I want to know, I mean, you know that the reason we're having this conversation today is because we share a deep love for this national park that you now get to call home, which is amazing. And it is in Torres del Paine. That's where I take my group trips. When I travel to Patagonia, we do some hiking in there. And in fact, we talked about hopefully meeting up while I'm there later this year with one of my group trips. If you're around and if everything goes, which all the fingers crossed that everything's going to be just fine. But I'm optimistic about it.
A birthday party, a birthday celebration going on. So,
yeah, but
I hope the borders will open.
Yes, I cannot wait for that personally. So going back to when you guys first decided to move down there, what I want to know is what about Patagonia captured you? Like, what was your first impression down there? What happened?
Yeah, it's a good question. And I think there is a lot of mysticism involved. When people talk about Patagonia, it's one of the most remote and last wild places on Earth. And but it's true. Like, when I first saw the towers and the guanacos and the first puma I've met, and every single thing you see there, it stays with you forever. And that's true because it's very unique. And it's not only about the beauty of the scenery, but it's about the energy. That's why I always say there is mysticism. Like, it's a natural place with so much personality. And it's very easy to fall in love with Patagonia. And you know that, I'm sure, because you traveled to Patagonia quite a few times now. and very few places on Earth have that power to make travelers fall in love with it. Like, if you go there once, you want to go back. And it's what happened to me. And it wasn't just about the fact that I wanted to go back. It's like I wanted to have my roots in Patagonia and live there, because I feel there is so much potential, not only for content creation, and it's not only heaven for a photographer, but it's just my kind of place. I love white places, and Patagonia is like the best white place I can imagine.
I'm just sitting over here smiling and nodding and just agreeing with you like 1,000%, and thinking back to my first time going there and how it was like magnetic. You know, it's like there's something unspoken that's so loud at the same time, you know, that's just like draws you in. And that's how I felt, at least, to the effect that it's interesting that you say you wanted to like have your roots there. It's like something that you want to be more about your story. You know, like you want it to become part of your story somehow. And so that's how you sort of established yourself there. And that's exactly the same reason that I keep going back there. I mean, for my part personally, and then I want to ask you about this, but when I first went there, I was kind of open to anything. I was in a place where anything could be possible. I was starting over in my life. And I had no idea what was waiting for me down there. And it kind of just hit me in the very best way, because it just filled me up where I had felt so empty, you know, and it just kind of gave me this hope in this strange place in my life. And I do feel that part of me was reborn there almost. And I always say that I feel like a migratory bird, because I end up coming back. I just end up coming back like every, you know, just to touch base, like with this new home-ish that I've created that I carry inside me, but it's still there. You know, it's those mountains that are just magnetic for me, and specifically Torres del Paine National Park. And so I can really relate to you on that. But what I love is that you actually made it your home. And so how is it actually living there?
Well, it's been like the first 5 years, I had no permanent residence. So I was, both of us, my wife as well, we were living and working most of the time in Torres del Paine. Mm-hmm. So we would barely see any city or civilization, because we would spend just maybe 7 days a month in the nearby city, which is Puerto Natales, 2 hours away. And it's the nearest city, but it's a small city. It's 20,000 inhabitants. It's been growing up. It's still kind of a village mood. It's very different from other cities. And, you know, we were used to seeing that nature surrounding us. And when you talk about Patagonia, it always has to do with stepping out your comfort zone in a way. It's a very windy place. The weather changes all the time, but like to live inside this national park, it's to face the elements 24 hours a day. And especially living in a dome, because we EcoCamp is a geodesic dome hotel. So we would spend night and day living in domes and walking in domes where the domes shake with the wind, and you hear the it's like being in a tent basically, but all day long and all night long. And so I felt really connected with that wilderness. And now, after 5 years, we decided to buy a terrain and to build a small house in Puerto Natales. But it's still countryside life. And we always have this majestic landscape surrounding us. And it is in very few places on Earth, I think, you can live in such a pristine landscape, which is amazing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And so you're just gearing up then to bring your daughter back there
for next month.
First time, really, right?
Well, she was born there, but I don't think she remembers, because she was 2 months old when we left.
Yeah. Okay. Wow. That's really exciting. I'm really hoping that means that you're gearing up for the season, right?
I don't even want to think about what could happen if there is no season. I mean, not for me. I mean, for everyone who depends, like all the families, hundreds of families who live or rely on tourism. Mm-hmm. And it should be, fingers crossed, on September. September 11th should be the reactivation in the
Excellent.
Region.
Yeah, I truly hope so. I'm also, when you talked about living in the dome as if it's like a tent, I mean, because it is, I got really excited because the wind down there in Patagonia is so incredibly, it's like its own thing, right? I mean, you can talk about wind and then there's wind in Patagonia. And I remember one of the first times that we were down there on one of the trips, our guide Rafa said, this is the wind of the world. Because if you look at a map, I mean, there's no land in between. It's just all the wind around the entire world. And then it smashes right into Patagonia, right at the bottom. And so it is its own force. And it's something to be, I feel like, just embraced. And when you were talking about sleeping in like a tent, it got me excited because one of my trips this year, we're doing the full Paine circuit. And on the back side of that trek, you have to sleep in tents. There aren't, you know, refugios all along that.
Only tents.
Yep. And so we're finally going to do it. And it's something I haven't done it in Torres del Paine before. I haven't slept in tents there. I've only slept in the accommodations, the refugios and the hotels and stuff. And so I'm really excited to get to experience that full tent wind Patagonia love.
You may not sleep a lot on a windy night. You may not sleep a lot. Like it's like having a earthquake all night long. But mm-hmm. It's cool. Yeah. It's wild.
Yeah, it's part of the experience, though. It's part of Patagonia. It's one of the things you just kind of embrace down there, and those ultimately end up being some of the strongest memories too. Are those crazy weather moments that we have down there. There was one day on, we were actually in El Chalten at this point, but we had such strong wind that as I was walking, my right foot would like blow into my left foot and trip me. Like it was crazy. Like, you can't even walk straight. People are getting blown off the trail. But when you talk about that with my group afterwards, it's like everyone smiles. Like it's one of the funnest memories, even though it was so crazy at the time and we didn't know what was going on and it was felt a little bit maybe unsafe, but it was fine, you know, and it's part of the memories. It's part of what makes Patagonia so unique, I think.
It's part of the magnetism you were talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's talk about what you do, because I want to give you a chance to kind of, let's get into your work down there. You guys all need to follow this guy on Instagram, first of all. you have incredible photography. I love following your Instagram account. Will you spell out your name for everybody so that they can follow you? Because I know that your Instagram handle is your full name.
Yeah, it's always hard to spell it in English, but I'm going to try. Timothy, you should know it, Timothy, right? And Dalen, that's a hard part. It's Dha. Lleine. I think I got it. Yeah.
Yeah. I think you got it. We're going to put that in the show notes too. But you are, like I said, an incredible photographer and you do filmmaking. And actually that's how I originally met you. Where were we? In Italy, right?
In Italy, yeah.
We were in Italy and you won an award you won a film contest for a film that you created. Do you want to talk a little bit about what you do and what that film meant to you and what you're doing with your work in Patagonia?
Yeah, so like the company I work for, EcoCamp, invests a lot in content. And so they invest in me to create kind of short documentaries that give value not only to the company, but to the area, like telling stories that happened there and otherwise no one would talk about them. So many incredible things happening in the region, like the award I won specifically in 2018 in Italy was the Adventure in Motion contest organized by the ATTA. And it was, usually I do short videos. So 5 minutes, sometimes 10, but in that case it was 5 minutes. And it was telling the story of Alvaro Silberstein, who became the first guy to ever hike the W Trek, the most famous trek in Torres del Paine National Park, on a wheelchair. He's got this car accident when he was a teenager and he cannot use his legs anymore, but with the help of his friends, they invested in a special hiking wheelchair and they did this 5-day trek in very remote places and difficult to access, but they did it. And I was there to capture this moment with my camera and explain what happened after that experience with the wheelchair. So other people coming, blind people feeling Patagonia because I feel it through the hands or the ears. Or it's a story of accessibility that was really beautiful to show through a short movie. And I kept filming after that and other videos that always have to do with the connection with nature. And that's what I love, like showing that connection through filmmaking and photography.
Mm-hmm. We'll have to share the link to that video. We'll put the link in the show notes because that was an incredibly moving film. I voted for you. I was so glad that you won that. And it was so cool to see you. Like, you were right behind me, I guess, in the audience. I didn't even realize it. So when you came back, I'm like, dude, we need to know each other because you live at Eco Camp and I travel there. And there our friendship blossomed in Italy as it does. And we've actually yet to cross paths in Patagonia, but I'm really hoping that that'll change this year. It's going to be pretty special to head back there after it's been closed to tourism for over a year.
Yeah,
it's going to be, I'm sure it kind of needed the rest.
Yeah, I mean, it's good for nature. And by the way, before we talk about that, the video is called Adventure is for All. So you can also check it on YouTube. And it's been on March 18th, 2020. It's when the national park was closed. Mm-hmm. So from one day to another, everyone had to leave the park, like walkers and travelers. And, it's been a year and a half with almost no tourism. So last season, there were a few people traveling to Transalpine, but most of them Chileans, mm-hmm. Because the borders are closed now since April. And before that, we had a border closure for a few months too. So, yeah, I don't know what's going to happen now, but the borders, the government didn't plan to reopen the borders for a few weeks from now. So there is lots of uncertainty involved.
Mm-hmm. Of course. Yeah. Well, let's hope. I definitely hope that it opens for all the reasons. So I wanted to ask you, just kind of changing focus a little bit, if you have on the top of your head any favorite either places that are just like happy places for you within the national park, or specific experiences, like something that happened that has just stayed with you, just to try and share more of a sense of what it's like to be on the ground there and just to take it in.
Yeah, well, it's hard to find a good answer because so many years living down there, and I've met so many amazing people, all of them with inspiring stories to tell. But something fantastic is what you're going to do soon, the Transalpine Circuit, like people call it Old Trek. Mm-hmm. And it's the deepest experience you can live with nature. It's especially when you're in the northern side of the mountain range. And when you see very few people and when you can lose yourself in a snowstorm it's like traveling back in time when there were no cities on planet Earth. And it's one of the experiences I recommend to everyone to go travel there. And but it's not only Transalpine. I mean, there are so many fascinating places from north to south. If you travel to the Aysén region in Chile, you have to do the Carretera Austral, like the most amazing road trip you can do there.
Absolutely. Like in the world, most amazing ever. I don't know. Argue that one.
Have you done that? Do you know the Carretera Austral?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did it in 2017, 18. Took a couple of months. No, 1 month. A month driving from... we started in Bariloche, but we went over to Puerto Varas and went all the way down to the end. I think it was that little village with the wooden boardwalks.
Tortel.
Yeah. And we couldn't cross over with the car there. So we had to double back through Cochrane and go like 500 miles around and then end up in, El Chalten, which is like 70 miles as the condor flies across the border. But we had to take the long way around. And then we ended up, back into Transalpine after that. And it was the single most incredible trip of my life, that month on the Carretera Austral.
Yeah, it's easy to believe. And well, when you travel there, you always have to consider distances are really long. So when you say 2 hours, it's a short distance for people there. It's important to consider.
Mm-hmm. So I'm curious what you, since this is what's on my mind, the O trek, like you said, the Pinay circuit, the entire circuit, I've never done it. I've never been on the north side of those mountains before. I haven't seen Glacier Gray from up top like that. Get me excited. What's your favorite thing about doing that trek, about that part?
Well, it's especially when you reach these remote campsites and specifically Perros campsite, which is the most remote a campsite accommodation in Torres del Paine. There is nothing nearby. I mean, no infrastructure. So
yeah.
It's a two days of hiking to reach that from the starting point of the old trek. And you're surrounded with the woods and you cannot be sure to have hot water in the showers. And yeah, it's like the spirit of adventure. And it's the only place in the park when you have this true spirit of adventure, because in other refuges and campsites, you have like basically hotel rooms and hot showers and Wi-Fi. But in this area of the park, there is no Wi-Fi. Like even if you want it, it's impossible.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to be connected 100% to what's surrounding that place. And like you've got hanging glaciers, you've got the Southern Patagonian ice fields, which you can view from the John Gardner Pass. And it's the most beautiful viewpoint I think I've seen in the region. It's spectacular.
I'm so looking forward to that. It's happening. It's all going to happen. And I'm going to see you there.
Yeah, I don't think the borders will be closed up to December.
I don't think so.
Positive it'll be there.
Yeah, I think they're going to open for us. I have a good feeling. Okay. I don't want to keep you much longer, but I want to ask you one thing. With an audience listening, what do you want people to know about Patagonia?
Well, it's a hard one. I think Patagonia has something all of us, especially in these moving times, all of us need. It's the power to feel humbled by a place. Like when you come there and go back home, you're transformed. And it's why so many people talk about transformational travel. And I think in that sense, it's the best, maybe the best transformational travel destination. Because now it's so raw and so changing in a way, like the light change all the time, the weather changes all the time. And it's impossible not to feel humble. Even though you are a traveler that looks for, you know, a comfortable destination, that kind of, you know, it's kind of uncomfortable, but yeah. It's so something we need so much, human beings, to go back to the roots in a way. And that's what Patagonia provides us. Like, it will change you. Like, it changes you forever.
Yes, it does. I love this. I'm really, really ready to go back. Okay. Anything else that you would like to add about what you're doing or your photography or anything you're working on that you want to share?
Well, you can, of course, like check out my pictures. It's been a long time. I haven't created some new content in Patagonia. You know, I told you it's been 10 months, but mm-hmm. You can find the pictures on my Instagram page. And mm-hmm. I should be back by September. We hope to have a new season. And it's when I will keep creating some short movies. And you can type Picocam Patagonia on YouTube and you will see the videos. And most of them are mine, obviously. And I recommend some of them. For example, you can watch a short film called A Path, which I shot with an actor from the TV show Vikings. And I totally recommend that, especially for you, Jackie, because you're traveling there soon. And it sums it up. What you feel when you hike through Patagonia, like what it means for me, at least.
And I saw a picture it was Halfdan from Vikings, right? It's the brother of, yeah. I saw a picture of you with him. What was that film called?
The short film is A Path.
Okay. I'll have to share that one as well. Thank you for that. Well, I'm really looking forward to seeing you in person later this year. We're going to make it happen. Come to my birthday party with all the people at the, we're going to have an asado at the Hotel Las Torres when we're there. But yeah, I really, really hope all that works out and that you can make a cameo appearance down there and meet some of these people who are listening to you right now. It'd be super fun.
And you should do a cameo appearance at EcoCamp as well.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed the hotel can open.
Absolutely. Yep. Fingers crossed. All right. Well, Timothy, thank you so much for your time today and good luck with the big move coming up. And I really hope that everything just goes smoothly for you. And I really hope that we'll be seeing each other soon.
Yeah, me too. And I fingers crossed it improves not only for Patagonia, but worldwide. Like people
absolutely
can travel free again.
Yeah.
And being healthy.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
And all next time, I hope we'll have the call in better conditions from Patagonia.
Yeah, where the Wi-Fi is really excellent, right?
Exactly. Yeah, very excellent for like 10 minutes.
Yeah. All right, Timothy. We'll talk to you soon, one way or another. All right?
Yeah, that's what we all wish.
Yes. Great.
Take care, Jackie.
Thank you. Ciao. Okay.
Ciao.
Okay. Thank you again to Timothy for taking us south today and for inspiring us with your stories. I have included the links to the two videos we talked about in the show notes. They're only a few minutes each and are seriously so good. I urge you to take the time to watch them because who doesn't need some feel good in their lives these days? And also, it's so hard sometimes to imagine things on a podcast, you know? And once you hit go on those videos, you really can take yourself there. And it is just, it's so different to be able to see it. So definitely encourage you to check those out. Make sure to give Timothy a follow at Timothy Delenn on Instagram. And again, the spelling, the links, all of that is in the show notes for you, as well as where to book Patagonia if you want to join us down south this year. Okay, I said I'd give you 3 packing tips and 3 book recommendations. So here we go. We're going to start with the packing tips. 3 things you need to bring with you to Patagonia. Number 1, waterproof everything. Okay, guys, this is coming from the girl who always thought I could get by without waterproofing. But too many times in Patagonia, I have been proven flat out wrong. My goodness, if there is one thing I can encourage you to do, it is to get waterproof, like the kind of waterproof that actually works, everything. Jacket, pants, shoes, gaiters, if you need them. Also, a fun thing, I have waterproof mitten shells that I got at REI that can go over any light pair of gloves that I might be wearing. And I love these things. I very much recommend them. They're REI brand, I think, even. And I wear them biking too, because they just keep my hands warm and dry against any kind of weather. So waterproof everything, including your shoes, which brings us to number 2, hiking boots. Again, this comes from the girl who swears by trail running shoes no matter what. Well, Patagonia is a different animal. 3 things that hiking boots offer that trail running shoes normally don't, in case you need an argument for this, are stability, even for the ankles, waterproofing, and super tough soles. Usually trail shoes have a lot of flex to them, and they're just not as stable as hikers. So when you're hiking a ton, which hopefully you will be doing in Patagonia, you really, really need dependable shoes that can get you through anything. So if you're planning a trip there, find your shoes early, break them in, get comfortable in them, get the right insoles if you need them, figure out what happens to them when they get wet, how long they take to dry, maybe get some baby powder and dryer sheets to keep them fresh, and just make sure that you feel good in them. Shoes are so important and they truly need to be waterproof. If you end up going with a low ankle shoe or boot, get yourself some gaiters to prevent water from going in at the ankles, not just because of rain, maybe because of some stream crossings. There are only a couple months out of the entire year, maybe around February, that there is a slight chance that during your trip for a few days, you might not see rain in Patagonia. But even then, they always say 4 seasons in 1 day, because you cannot count on decent weather there ever. So it's better to be prepared for the worst weather, and then you can delight in the sunshine if you get it. 3rd, a mobile battery charger. So I use the Anker brand, which is A-N-K-E-R. I swear by it. That's my favorite one. But as long as you have something that lasts for days, like multiple charges that you can charge your phone with, not because you'll be using it for data, there is not much cell service in Patagonia, but because you will fill up your phone with photos and videos, and you will want to keep that charge up. And you probably won't have much access to electricity if you're in the backcountry. So a phone, charger, battery, bank. And again, I use Anchor. You can find all of these things that I use at travelingjackie.com/pack. I keep an updated list of my favorite items there, but this is a go-to always for me. I use it on the daily, even when I'm not traveling. So you should definitely have one. But for sure in Patagonia, you want to be able to charge your own batteries and cameras and whatever it is that you have. So make sure you're prepared for that. And I'm going to give you guys a bonus here. Number four is a reusable water bottle, which you should always have with you when you travel, but specifically just a water bottle. You won't need a filtration system because there are many places in Patagonia where you can just fill your bottle straight from the source, straight from a waterfall or a stream without worry of contamination. It is some of the purest water in the world. So make sure you have that reusable water bottle with you. All right, let's move on to the book recommendations. These are all incredibly different, by the way, but there's something here for everybody. So the first one is called In Patagonia by Bruce Chatwin. This is a classic. You may have heard of it. It's a super interesting, meandering chronicle of the author's travels through Patagonia back in the 70s. It's easy to read in pieces because the chapters tend to be very short. I mean, they vary in length, but they're kind of just little, it's almost like journal entries. He's just kind of recording what he's seeing and what he's doing and who he's coming into contact with. It provides a really raw account of the land and the people and the history through the eyes of the author. So if you want kind of a broad perspective on the region, then I would recommend In Patagonia by Bruce Chatwin. The second one is called Enduring Patagonia by Gregory Crouch. Wow, I loved this book. It is about climbing. Gregory Crouch is a climber. And so, especially if you're into climbing, you will love this book. But even if you're not, like, I'm not a climber. I found it so fascinating because he has a real gift for capturing what it really feels like down there. I mean, you just heard me talk about waterproofing and the weather. Pick up this book and it will give you the tiniest glimpse into why all of that matters. He does such a good job at describing the landscape and what he's feeling and what he's experiencing. And it's really, truly amazing. So highly recommend Enduring Patagonia by Gregory Crouch. A lot of that does take place in Argentina, on the Argentina side, but there's plenty on the Chilean side as well. And it's an adrenaline read. It's a fun read. And then the third one is called Maya's Notebook by Isabel Allende. And she is actually a Chilean author. So this is kind of exciting. This is translated into English. I do recommend the paperback version or the solid, whatever, the book version of this one rather than the Audible version. You guys know I love Audible, but for this particular one, I wasn't too jazzed on the voice on Audible. And so I definitely recommend that you pick up the paper book for this one. But Maya's Notebook is interesting because it is kind of one of those split stories where it follows two different timelines of the same character. And on one of the stories, she's in the United States. And the other story, she's actually on the island of Chiloé, which is in northern Chilean Patagonia. It's actually an archipelago. And if any of you watched my Osprey video that I did with Osprey, or if you heard a few episodes back, we did an episode about Chiloé and our story about going down to film there. The reason I read this book was to get a deeper feel for the culture down there. Even though I had already been to Chiloé, like, this book does such a good job at describing what type of community and what type of person actually lives there and the hardship of it. And yet it's in modern time. And so it's also a fascinating read. So that one's called Maya's Notebook by Isabel Allende. Have fun with those. And if you do pick one of those up, let me know what you think about them. I'd love to hear from you. So yeah, happy reading. I hope you guys have felt inspired to travel to Patagonia, or at least to learn more about it. It is a beautiful, fascinating place. Yeah, I hope you consider traveling with me there. I won't say it's the best decision you'll ever make in your life. Well, maybe I will. Anyway, yeah, spots are still open as of now. And one question I often get is, will you be doing this again next year? To which I would love to say, yes, of course. But dudes, after 2020, Nobody can actually foresee what might happen, right? So now is the time, people. Make it happen. Let me help you. All right. Thank you again for being here today. I hope you had fun. Stay healthy, stay safe, and I will see you guys soon.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey, Drew Scott here.
And I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.